Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. So great to see you this morning. I am super excited because we are beginning a brand new message series called Get Your Life Back. How many know 2021 is the year to get our lives back? I really believe it. Let me encourage you. We're going to be taking the next 6 weeks on this study. We're going to be teaching. I'll be preaching every week a message in the series Get Your Life Back. Let me encourage you to join a Zoom group, because John Eldridge, who you saw is the author of the book Get Your Life Back, he is going to be doing a brief teaching through video in your Zoom group every single week for 6 weeks. So this week's teaching will coincide with today's message. Does that make sense? Let me encourage you, join a group. We made them all through Zoom so that you don't have to drive to church or drive to someone's house that we know you're not going to want to go to. And it's cold out, so you can stay at home in your comfy PJs, put on your robe at 7 o'clock, whatever night of the week you pick, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, wherever you are in the world, you can join a small group. You don't have to be part of our church to join a small group, a Zoom group. Join a Zoom group, 6 weeks, and it's going to help you this year. Also, purchase the book, Get Your Life Back. Get the book. You need to invest in you. How many know that? You need to invest in your soul. You need to invest in your life. You have to invest in yourself. If you want a better 2021 than you did last year, you've got to make some changes. You have to learn some skills, some principles in your life. Because if not, yes, you have the book. If not, you're going to repeat 2020. We don't want to repeat. We want a new year, a fresh start, a new beginning, and I really believe this without a shadow of a doubt. This study has the potential to change your life and change your year. And I don't say that often. I read this book the end of last year. It was given to me by another pastor, and it changed and impacted my life. And I said, you know what? Our church needs to get this. And I waited until today to launch this series. So please, be a part of this series. Don't just be a spectator, be a participant. Connect with us, read the book. And if you can't join a group because you're in a, you work evenings or whatever your situation is, get the book, read along with us. And I know you're gonna be encouraged this coming year. Because the truth is, our world has gone mad. Our world has turned upside down. Things are happening that I never, ever dreamed or imagined. Things that I'm seeing in the world, I never thought or dreamed or imagined I would see the things happening that are happening today in this world. And in a world gone mad, our souls have been drained and depleted, and we're just trying to make it through each day with very little room to breathe. You are a trichotomous being. You are body, soul, and spirit. But the essence of who you are is your soul. Your soul, I like to say, is the seat of your intellect, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is where you feel. Your soul is where you experience the beauty of life. Your soul is who you really are. Your body will eventually pass away, but your soul and your spirit are going to go to heaven if you've made that decision to follow him today. Eventually, our soul and our spirits will go to heaven, and we will get new bodies. And there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more sickness, no more COVID, no more cancer, no more pain, no more nonsense. we will be healed and whole and perfect and complete. How many can't wait to heaven, get to heaven? But how many would say, not today, Lord, not today. Not this year, Lord. Slow down, Lord. I can't wait, but slow down. There's some things I got to do, Lord. So why our souls? And as I was thinking about 2020, what I recognized and realized that 2020 negatively impacted our souls. It depleted us. It drained us. There are things that have done, I like to say, done violence to our souls. And there's different reasons why many of us, and not all of us, many of us are drained, depleted, and we're just struggling, and we're anxious, and we're overwhelmed, and we're full of fear, we're full of worry. It's because of the pace of life that we live. We live a crazy life. Crazy pace of life. And you would have thought that when we were in quarantine, you would have thought that, yes, finally I get to slow down. I get to relax. But then you find yourself busier at home in quarantine than you were when you actually were going to work. How many can say amen on that one? You see, because your home became an office and then it became a schoolhouse. And now the kids are going around the house and you're like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. These kids are driving me crazy. Not my kids. Your kids, right? If they're watching. Love you, sons. Love you. Love you guys. They're not kids anymore. But, you know, so... we have this, we're wired for busyness, and we find ourselves working more. I don't know, I know I was working more at home than I was in the office, and now you're connected to media, you're connected to technology. Now your laptop's at home, now you're checking emails, and it just seems like the place of rest became a place of work, and you find yourselves entangled in just busyness. You see, you were never meant to live life at full throttle. You were never meant to do. Go, 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 go. And the pace of life that many of us live with and live by have drained and depleted our souls. We also have the effects of nonstop media. This, by far, has done the most damage to our souls than anything else. We may not realize it, but because of media, social media, cable news, we have been experiencing a nonstop assault on our souls. And most of what we listen to, by the way, is not news, it's opinions of human beings who have a set agenda of what they want you to think and believe. And without realizing it, we're opening up our souls to the ideologies of man, and it's subconsciously affecting our worldview. It's also robbing us of our peace. It's robbing us of our joy. It's robbing us of our happiness. It's robbing us of our centeredness. It's robbing us of coming to church. Because we think it's dangerous to get out there. The world is going to end, and we opened our souls to news outlets or reports in which, you know, I remember the time, I shared this in my series called Joy to Your World. I remember the time there was a thing called newspapers. How many remember newspapers? How many remember when all there was newspapers? And I remember years and years ago when I first got married, I lived in a house, and they would deliver the paper to my house, and I would sneak out on my front, had a little porch, drink my coffee, and read the paper, right? And then put it in the recycle bin. And that was the last time I looked at the news. And then at night, we would get home, and then maybe the 5 o'clock news was on. I remember the 5 o'clock. Is that still on? I don't know if it is on or not. Probably still on. 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news. They just want to shoot you with news, right? And the 5 o'clock news was on. And I could only watch a few minutes of it because it was just bad news. It was just always bad. But I shut it off. Now, I get alerts. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I get an alert, and I think it's one of the production teams, and it's like, oh, the news network just, shh, Siri, quiet. The news network is just sending me an alert. And it's like nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's not good news, it's bad news. And this is what I've learned, that we've allowed people and posts and problems to pull our emotional strings. And we're scrolling through we're scrolling through social media, and someone shares a post, and it just, we react, and someone shares a news article, and we react, and someone posts this and posts that. All day long, we're scrolling and scrolling, and we're reacting and reacting, and then it's time to leave the house, and we're angry, and we're driving, and then we're flipping people off on the road. Has that happened to you? Like it happened to me, just kidding. But has it happened to you? We get impacted without realizing it. It's affecting our souls. And bad news traumatizes us. And it's not just news, it's movies. Now more than ever, the movies, the shows, the things we watch. You might think it's innocent, my friends. It's not innocent, because the eye is the lamp of the body, is the portal to your soul. And what you watch impacts who you are. I can remember I was way back, I had the flu. Anybody have the flu? Not like years ago, had the flu? And I said, you know what, great. All I could do is watch movies. So I said, I was just sick, put my iPad, and I said, finally, I get to watch the movies I want to watch. Because my wife is all into like Hallmark. Y'all know those movies, love stories, English movies, all this stuff with love and this. And then my kids around when they were smaller, and it's all like, you know, the Croods and all those things. So I said, finally, I get to watch some man movies. Finally. Watch some man movies. And I remember putting on some man movies. And they were effing this and effing that and all through the movie. And I'm like, I'm a man. I can listen to this. I could watch this. I'm a man. Then the killing and the blood, and I was like, ooh, ooh. And I was like, so I remember going to bed last night, and guess, going to bed that night, and guess what word was scrolling to my mind? I'm trying to sleep. I says, oh, God. Forgive me, God. I will never watch a rated R movie again, and I still don't. But I'm too much of a wimp. Because I realized that what I watched impacts my soul. We don't realize it. We have problems. We have politics. We have tragedies in the world. This is what I've learned, that our souls were not created to carry the problems, politics, or tragedies of the world. There's only one that could and did, and his name was Jesus. And last time I checked, your name is not Jesus. You're not Jesus. We're not Jesus. We were not created to carry the tragedies of strangers. Are you hearing me on that? I am not saying be empathetic or be not informed. What I am saying is we allow stories of murders, of crimes, of tragedies, of negativity into our souls. And I'm not talking about checking the headlines and being informed. I'm talking about a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week onslaught into our psyche, and it's affecting our souls. It's depleting our lives, and it's shriveling up who we are. Another reason why we're depleted is because we just neglect our souls. We don't even acknowledge that we have a soul. We don't even realize that we have a soul, and we avoid the things that the soul wants to feel, like rest, like sadness, like joy. And some of us, when we're so affected and impacted by the toxicity of the world, when we've allowed that into our souls, some of us get into a season of numbness, in which what once impacted you no longer impacts you. Why do you think the movies are getting worse and worse? Because we've become numb. Without realizing it, this psychologist will tell you this, that watching traumatic events traumatizes your soul, traumatizes your life. And so many people are walking around with post-traumatic stress. Why do you think suicides are at an all-time high? Why do you think they're running out of mental health medications. Why do you think so many of us struggle with anxious thoughts, with spirits of fear, with anxiety, loneliness, despair, discouragement? Our souls. We haven't guarded our souls. I like how John Eldredge says it in his book. He wrote this in the book. He says, your soul is a beautiful instrument, like a cello or a piano, capable of a vast range of expression and experience. Over time, strings get broken, keys are lost. 30 years of this, and there isn't much of us left with which to make music. And then we turn to God and we say, God, make music with my life. But he only has one note to play, one string to pluck, one key to hit. Because our souls are dry. We're shriveled up. And you would think, perfect. That's the situation in which God comes in and waters our soul. But this is the problem. When you are dry and parched and shriveled by the onslaught of the things of this world, how many know that water cannot penetrate dry ground when it's parched? Water kind of just rolls over dry ground. And we think, if I can get more of God into my life, I need more of God, or we think the problem is the church. If the church would do a better job feeding my soul, or we think that the problem is everyone else, and we don't look in the mirror and look at our souls and our hearts and recognize that we are just bankrupt and dry and traumatized and assaulted, and we're feeding ourselves with stuff that doesn't satisfy the longings of our hearts, doesn't feed our soul. I don't know anyone who, well, maybe you might be a person that says yes to this, but I don't know anyone who watches or binges on Netflix for 8 hours and says, you know what? I feel energized. I feel alive. I feel so creative. I'm ready to take the world. I know you feel tired and exhausted. And this is what happens to a soul who is empty, who's dry. Souls that are empty and dry seek to medicate themselves, seek to fulfill themselves. And we find ourselves going to things to fill the void in our hearts. And we find ourselves going to media. We find ourselves going to social media. We find ourselves going to TV programs and movies, or even worse, maybe pills or bottles or drugs or things to kind of numb the pain, numb this feeling, or fill the emptiness of our hearts. And we don't recognize that we are dry and tired and empty and depleted. This happened to me many years ago. I came to a place in my life that I was dry and empty and depleted and exhausted. Around 2014 and 2015, I started experiencing symptoms in which I thought was hypoglycemia. At least that's what people said that they thought I had. And I would, in between services, more than one occasion, I had these meltdowns in which I just started crying, and I just lost the dryness of my mouth, and I couldn't think straight. I remember preaching so many times with my thoughts disconnected from myself, from my words. It was as if I was outside of my body looking at myself preaching, and I knew something was not right. I was exhausted, but I did what I thought I should do. Keep going, Pastor. Keep pressing in. Keep pushing the pedal to the metal until 2016. I couldn't push any longer. I hit a wall. The truth is, eventually, you're hit a wall. We'll all hit walls, and some of you are at the wall right now. You don't even realize that you're at a wall. Walls are good. God brings you to walls in your life because he wants to do something not for you, but in you. And it was at this wall that I began to look in the mirror and recognize that something wasn't right with me, my soul. But I didn't know where to turn. After all, I was the pastor. Where do pastors go when their soul is dry and empty? So I try to sleep, and I try to take naps, and I try to rest, take some time off. I try to do things that might fill me, but I still found myself empty. It was so bad that there were times I couldn't even drive because I couldn't function. But I can remember the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart over several weeks, saying, through other pastors, saying, go to a counselor. And I remember one fall of 2016, I went to this mega church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and the pastor of the mega church said, the best decision I ever made in my life was to go to a counselor. And immediately the Spirit of God says, you need to go. I says, but Lord, I am a counselor. How am I supposed to go to a counselor? I'm a pastor. What are people going to say? But I realized it was not a matter of choice. It was a matter of life or death. And I walked into that counselor's office in the fall of 2016, and I can tell you that that one decision changed the trajectory of my life. And I recognized my need to slow down my life. I was diagnosed with burnout, full-fledged burnout. I also had symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder from the effects of my past and my life and my ministry. And that counselor walked with me every week for months and months, and then eventually every other week for months. And now he meets with me every month to make sure I'm good. Through that experience and through the hard work of discipleship, I learned to slow down, hit pause, open my soul up to God, and allow God to fill my heart and my life. I did a lot of hard work over the past several years to help me get to where I am today, and I am so excited because the pastor you see today is not the pastor I was in 2016. The pastor I am today is the healthiest I've ever been, the strongest I've ever been. I feel the best I've ever felt, and I cannot wait for the next decade of life and ministry, what God has in store for me. But back in those days, I can tell you, I wanted to leave the church. I wanted to leave the ministry. I wanted to quit everything. But God rescued me, and God saved me. And God stepped in, and he healed me. And I learned the principles of slowing down, the principles of Sabbath, the principles of soul care, the importance it is to not neglect your soul. Now, this is my story, church, but let me ask you this question, the question that I ask myself almost every day, and it's the question I want to present to you, and the question is this: how's your soul? How's your soul? How are you feeling today? How are you doing on the inside? Are you happy most of the time? Do you feel optimistic? Do you feel energetic? Do you feel hopeful? Are you excited for 2021? Or are you just drained, exhausted, dangerously tired, restless, busy? Do you feel distant from God? Do you feel disconnected from God? Well, today, we're not going to walk into a counselor's office, but we are in the presence of the wonderful counselor. And the wonderful counselor is going to give us some free advice. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? And religion simply means going through the motions of your faith. Religion has nothing to do with relationship. Religion is based on works. It's about have-tos. It's about do-dos. That's what religion is. I like to tell people I'm not religious. I'm not religious. I hate religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the difference. It's relationship. He says, are you tired of your religion? And this is the remedy. This is what he said. He doesn't say take a prescription pill. He doesn't say binge watch on Netflix. He doesn't say go to the mall. He doesn't say shop. He doesn't say sleep. He says come to me. And by him saying, come to me, what he's simply saying is, you've been far from me. That's why you're tired. That's why you're burnt out. That's why you're go back to that verse. That's why you're burnt out. That's why you're tired and worn out, is because you haven't been with him. And he says, that's okay. Come to me. Get away with me. Get away with me. and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Then he says the next verse, he says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. How many know we need to learn from Jesus, right? He says, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Rhythms. Rhythms. Boom. Psh. Boom. Psh. Boom. Psh. Boom. Psh. Rhythm, 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 right? Rhythm. This is how some of y'all are living. Y'all don't have rhythm. Your life is like this. You ever seen those like YouTube videos of people trying to dance and they're all like that? This is, some of y'all are like, boom, rhythm, rhythm. But the rest of y'all are like crazy. You're just allowing, you're allowing your emotional strings to be pulled by the people posting problems of your life. Come on now. And it continues and it says this, I will not lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Free and light. That's the kind of life God wants you to live by. That's the kind of year God wants you to have. 2021 is the year of freedom and lightness. I like that. Free and light. And I pray it's free and light in your soul, and I pray it's free and light in your body. Come on, somebody. How many know we need to lose those 19 pounds that COVID-19 gave us, right? And we got to live a little lighter. But that's what Scripture, Jesus is saying, come to me. It's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31, 25. He says, I'll refresh tired bodies. I'll restore tired souls. And this is the thing, when you learn to rest, when you learn to slow down, when you learn to open your soul to God, when you learn to rest your soul, you're able to open, to be open to God's transforming work in your life. God, we live by go. God lives by slow. And he wants you to create space, breathing room. Everyone take a deep breath in. He wants you to have some breathing room with him. And if we're going to have some breathing room with God, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to hit the pause button. Because some of us are living life on fast forward. Some of us are skipping chapters. And God is saying, no, hit the pause button. Come away with me. Sit with me. Be with me. I want you to know me. I want you to have a relationship with me. What happens when we sit with Jesus? We open our soul to him. We release our cares and concerns with him. And we say simply, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. We have to learn how to hit the pause button throughout our day, every day of our lives. We have to learn how the psalmist said in Psalm 46:10 to be still and know that he is God. We have to learn the art of being still. We have to learn the spiritual practice of putting on the brakes in our lives and just simply not doing anything but being with God. Sitting with him. Opening your heart to him. You see, what I discovered burnout was a result of wasn't doing too much. It was giving what I didn't possess. Eventually was empty. And many of you are giving what you do not possess. You see, I learned that working, I used to live by this schedule. Do, 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 vacation, do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Weekend, how many are living by that rhythm, right? Right? How many are in that rhythm? And I learned that rhythm is wrong. And God showed me the book of Genesis. On the sixth day, God created man. Right? God created man. on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God rested. In other words, man's first full day on earth was a rest day. Remember, God told man, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take possession of the land. I want you to cultivate. I want you to do these things. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Man's first full day on earth was a rest day. And when I read this passage, the Spirit of God spoke to me and says, you don't do vacation, do weekend. You rest. And then you do. And then you rest. And then you do. And then you rest. And then you do. You do from resting. You work from resting. So I flipped my priorities. And I said, I'm going to rest before I do. So I come to you today. I instituted a Sabbath. I instituted a time to be with God. I incorporated silence and solitude in my life, every day of my life. And I started learning the rhythm of rest and do. Rest and do. And I come to you today having been rested. That's what I've learned. The rhythm of grace. Now this is what the Psalm 46:10, you're going to love this. Stay with me, we're almost done. Psalm 46:10, he says, step out of the traffic. I love it connected to this. This could be traffic, right? Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look. This is the same verse, Psalm 46:10 in the Message. Take a long, loving look at me. Your high God, above politics, above everything. He's above politics. He's above everything. I'm going to have the team come up. He's above politics. He's above everything. But you will not know that God is above politics and above everything if you don't hit the pause button, step out of the traffic, and take a long, loving look at Jesus. Because when you learn to sit with Jesus, you'll recognize he's above the politics. He's above. Above the traffic. He's above the pain. He's above everything. He's a high God. He's an awesome God. He's a powerful God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's mighty. He's everlasting. And there's nothing too hard for God. You got to learn to hit the pause button and be still and know that he is God. You gotta learn how to hit the pause button. Step out of the traffic. Find a quiet place in your life to simply be with Jesus. You see, the heart of pausing is not to turn to God to get anything. It's simply to what? Be. Just to be with Jesus. Just to be present with him. Just to know him. Just to have a relationship with him. Just to feel him. Just to know that he's near. You see, when COVID hit, it didn't shake me because I had already developed the rhythm of being with Jesus. I was with him. He was with me. And every time I had anxiety, every time I had fear, every time I had uncertainty, I had a place to run to. And because I had hit the pause button that morning, I said, I'm going to hit the pause button. I'm just going to be with Jesus. I'm going to worship Jesus. Spend time. Could it be that you are not experiencing God in your life because you haven't created space in your life to experience him? Could it be that you're too busy? You're doing too much. You guys can take this stuff down. Too much. Could it be that you're doing too much and that you just don't have time to be? And right now the Holy Spirit is saying, slow down. Hit the pause button. Because this last verse, it'll be up on the screen. They're going to take this down. We're going to sing a song together, last song together. This last verse, it says, because those who what? Wait upon the Lord. What happens to them? They get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. Guess what 2021 is going to be? It's going to be the year of soaring, right? It's going to be the year of flying. He says, they will run. And they won't get tired. I'm not telling you not to run. I am telling you to run from rest. to run from being. You will run and not get tired. You will walk and not lag behind. That's if you wait on the Lord. Go ahead, take this. You wait on the Lord. You renew your, right here, brother, take this. Yeah, we're going to sing and have the band come up there. Yeah, come on up. You wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. But you got to hit the pause button.